the way it begins would want us to believe that the early church was organized like the Knights of the Round Table, and these 12 apostles sat around a big table and ran the church and were called to testify to the truth about Jesus' resurrection. But they have a crisis because Judas Iscariot has defaulted, and there is an opening at the table of the 12, so they have to select a replacement. And the narrative says there were two candidates for the empty slot, and they threw dice. That's what it means to cast lots. They threw dice and were led by the Spirit. The one who didn't make it was Justus, and you never hear from him again. The one who made it was Matthias, who was given a seat and joined the leadership team. But in the early church, leadership in the church was very different. It did not consist in management skills such as buildings and programs and budgets and bureaucratic red tape. We are told that leadership simply consisted in becoming witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. So Matthias was chosen. And I have wondered what it was like for him. I could imagine that during the shooting of the craps, he was rather tense and rather modest and pretended that he wasn't interested. And I can imagine that after he was chosen, he made the usual gestures of saying he was surprised and he was reluctant and he was unworthy, but he was a team player, so he would do it. I suspect he really wanted it, but he had to appear that he didn't. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he prayed, "Dear God, let the dice fall for Justus, that he might be bypassed." Because he must have known. He must have known that the news about the resurrection of Jesus was dangerous, risky business. In the Roman Empire, it was treasonable because, you know, we have no king but Caesar. And among the Jews, you ran up against the problem that a Messiah should not suffer and certainly should not die. So it's dangerous business, and maybe he didn't want to run the risk of having everything unsettled in his life, because that's what Easter does. It unsettles everything. But he was chosen. And even while he knew a lot about the faith, I imagine that he had to be tutored by senior apostles. And I imagine that he went to Peter and James and Thomas, and he said, "How do we do this?" And they told him that the way you do it is to announce in every way that you can imagine that Jesus, whom the authorities executed, is alive and powerful, and is forming an alternative community that will defeat the powers of injustice and unrighteousness. Isn't that a wonderful definition for Fourth Church? That Jesus is forming an alternative community that will overthrow the powers of injustice and unrighteousness. And they warned him. They said, "Do not treat Easter as a biological freak. And do not argue about it or explain it away. Do not debate whether it is literal or physical or spiritual." They reminded him that Easter is a public political event that jars power arrangements and that puts people on notice that the future has now been opened in new directions. And then they reminded him that the Greek word for witness, which would appear in the New Testament, is the word martyria, from which we get the word martyr. It means that being a witness for Jesus is dangerous, and you may come to grief or trouble or suffering or even inconvenience. That's what the leadership of the church knew from day one. That Easter news challenges and subverts and overthrows all settled arrangements, all power grabs, all assumptions about entitlement and privilege and advantage. And once they got Matthias elected in Acts 1, emancipation, the church opens up new possibilities that makes all old possibilities impotent. These people are led by the Spirit to make the claim that God is leading the world into goodness, that God's will for justice is being enacted against all the forces of injustice, that God's will for peace is underway against all those who hunger for violence, that God's will for neighborliness is on its way against all of our will to exclude the neighbor, that God's promise for generosity is true in spite of our fearful scarcity. And as the story goes, the powers of death did their best on that Friday, but they could not prevail. They are shown to be helpless before God's power for life, and so the church continues to mock death and to celebrate God's will for life that will not be defeated. The reading from 1 John that I read is a companion piece to the book of Acts. It imagines that the whole church, not just the 12 apostles, but the whole church are in the business of testimony to the truth of Easter. That is what the church is about, to give testimony by act and by speech and by prayer and by policy that the future is open and death, get this, death cannot win. And so the text says, those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. So the church is surrounded by people who lie, who in their fear and their anxiety and their desire to control tell lies about God and about God's world. They say, assuming the power of death, that violent force will make us safe. It is a lie. They say, assuming the power of death, that more stuff will make us happy. It is a lie. They say, assuming the power of death, that more clever techniques will make the church more faithful. It is a lie. They say, assuming the power of death, that more cosmetics will keep us young. It is a lie. They want us to gather around the still power of death in order to stay in control. And it is a lie. They lie, and we in the church are called to tell the truth about Easter that opens the future. Well, Matthias must have felt ambivalent about his new assignment, and I bet he wondered what he had gotten into. But think for a minute about Justice, the guy who wasn't elected. He must have been a viable candidate who was rooted in the gospel, or they wouldn't have considered him. He must have known about the truth of Easter and was ready to go. So I imagine that when he was not elected, he had a downer. I imagine he felt disappointment and some self-pity. And I imagine he went for a long walk, probably along the lakefront. And I imagine he took some deep breaths. And then I imagine, because he knew, he stood up straight and he went back to the church meeting and he began again to live his life of testimony, for he had that testimony in his heart. What he knew is that the Easter reality and the defeat of death were defining for his identity, and he could not do otherwise. And so outside the ranks of the 12 apostles, I imagine that this 13th guy continued to testify in dangerous ways. He told the truth. And when he told the truth about Easter, he knew joy and no anxiety, no quarrelsomeness, no fear, no overwhelming doubt, just the truth. This was risky work in the Roman Empire because it was the announcement of a regime change. But it is always risky work. It is always risky work when the preacher says Christ has risen and the congregation says he has risen indeed. The fact that it is risky work is no argument against its risk.